It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all.
Hi, everyone. It is the happiest time of the year. It's Christmas. I know a lot of negative things going on in the world, but we want to be positive on this show. We want to talk about the good things, and we're going to do some of that today. I'm Bobby Elias, and the name of the show, as you know, is Let's Create a Better World. Second theme, healthy aging. But this month, we've only started before Thanksgiving. We're doing lots of things to prepare you for the holidays, give you ideas and tips on how to live, how to avoid depression, foods to eat, way to think, et cetera, because we want to keep this as a good time of the year, the real Christmas spirit, the holiday spirit. Okay, at the end of this show, we're going to have on another song by called The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole, so hopefully they'll play that a little longer, 2 minutes maybe. All right, we're really getting into everything on this show. Our first guest today is going to be the executive director of GMO Free USA, Diana Reeves. And then the second guest will be on towards the latter part of the show, Joseph Ross, a renowned astrologer psychic, who doesn't want me to say this, but he works with a lot of celebrities in Southern California, where I live. Okay, ready for the show. Like I said, the next few weeks we're going to have a lot of good stuff, so tune in and stay with us. So our first guest, Diana Reeves, is a workaholic. She works 16 hours a day, and she's so dedicated, and I just love this woman. She's so, so powerful. She's in Connecticut, and she is the executive director of GMO Free USA, and we're going to talk about that. Hi, Diana. How are you? Welcome.
Hi, Bobby. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on today.
You're very welcome. And let's start out and just tell our people a little bit about what GMO is. So first, let's talk about yourself, how you got into this, and then what you think of GMOs and what basically it is.
Well, GMOs found their way onto my radar in, the mid-1990s. I read an article in the newspaper that said they were on their way, and it explained that the primary trait at the time was herbicide tolerance, which meant that these crops had been engineered so that they could tolerate being sprayed with herbicides, primarily Roundup at the time. And to me, my common sense told me that that was a bad idea. You know, to make a food able to tolerate being sprayed with a toxic chemical herbicide just doesn't make any sense. So I tucked that information away. I actually reached out to my friends and my family, and I said, here's a heads up. This is coming our way. And, yes, you're going to be eating these, and no, they haven't been proven safe because there isn't any independent research required. There's no long-term health impact studies required. The FDA approves these crops based on the voluntary safety assessments, which are conducted by the industry, by the companies that profit from their sale. So for me, that was a red flag, just a little conflict of interest, you might say. And from there, it just progressed to the point where, because they were on my radar, I was involved in Connecticut as we were fighting for GMO labeling. There was a bill in the state legislature in 2012 which had widespread bipartisan support, and we really believed that it would pass. And at the time, the bill made it pretty far, through the process before the governor actually eviscerated it. And we never knew exactly why it happened or what happened behind the closed doors, but we suspected that because Monsanto had threatened to sue the state of Vermont for a similar type of bill, that it was either a trickle-down from Vermont or a direct threat to Connecticut. And to this day, we don't really know. But so the bill didn't pass in 2012, and I was very disappointed, to say the least, and I went to sleep that night in tears, and the next morning I woke up madder than heck, and I said, okay, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's got to be another way to do this. Our legislators weren't allowed to do their job because of corporate bullying. I had been one out of about 1.2 million people who signed a petition to the FDA, telling them that we want mandatory labeling of GMOs, and they basically put it in the trash. And so I said, okay, we're going to do this without their help, and what we're going to do is bring consumers together and speak collectively with our wallets and do targeted and strategically focused boycotts of major food companies to force them to change their ingredients, because these ingredients, you know, haven't been proven safe and unlabeled. People don't know what they're eating. And not only do we have a right to know what we're eating, but we need to know, because as it turned out along the way, my family developed health problems. And four of us were diagnosed with autoimmune disease. The girls and myself, we have both celiac and Hashimoto's autoimmune hypothyroidism. My husband has big-time problems with gluten. You know, he's celiac. He has one celiac gene, and we've got two. And so, you know, from that standpoint, I said, okay, there has to be a common trigger. Why did we all get diagnosed back to back to back? You know, what is the theme here? And so, you know, for me, the common sense answer would be the food, you know? And so, you know, combined with our genetic predisposition and our sensitivities, you know, not everybody has the same genetic makeup, and not everyone who smokes cigarettes develops cancer, but that doesn't mean there shouldn't be a warning on the label, you know? So anyway, that just, you know, further caused me to dig my heels in and, you know, fight harder for labeling and to take GMO-free USA from an organization that educates and also brings consumers together to do strategic boycotts, which, you know, the boycott that we primarily focus on is the Kellogg Company. And I can explain why in a minute, but, and we also focus on Gerber as well. But it, took me from that level to a new level where we are now doing food testing on our own because the FDA refuses to label, and we are not willing to wait until the battle finishes playing out in court, because Vermont did pass a bill and they're being sued. So any labeling in Vermont will be delayed until, you know, it's finished in the court system. So we'll label it now. We're going to do widespread food testing, and on Saturday we'll be releasing the results of our first food test, which is going to be in a newsletter. And the newsletter can be signed up if anyone's interested. You can sign up for it at gmofreeusa.org if you just click on the newsletter button along the top menu bar. And the first product we tested, I'm sure everyone will be interested to find out the results, was a Trader Joe's corn chip, which is not organic. And we're also going to be testing for not just GMO content, but also for Roundup, because the two really go hand in hand. Most of the GMOs in our food supply are herbicide tolerant, and they've been engineered to be able to be heavily doused with Roundup. And because the weeds in the farming, you know, in the agricultural system have developed resistance, farmers are using increasing amounts of Roundup. And they're also turning, you know, to harsher chemicals. I think the plan in the future is 2,4-D tolerant crops, which are not yet in the food supply but were recently approved. So if we need to, you know, change and also add to test for 2,4-D down the road, we'll be doing that as well, because we believe people need to know what they're eating and feeding their families.
Great. Beautiful. All right, Diana, I just want to remind our people that may have come in a little late. This is Let's Create a Better World, Healthy Aging, and Diana Reeves is the Executive Director of GMO-Free USA. .org, if you want to add that, why not? You should get onto that website. It's a great website. Diana does great, great work. She's a national leader. So hold on to that. I want to make another announcement here about after Diana speaks, we're going to have an astrologer on, psychic, world-renowned one that works with various people in Hollywood, celebrity types. And we're going to talk about what's going on now. There's a lot of bad air right now, but it's going to clear up. The stars go up and down and back and forth. We'll talk about that. Also, I'd like to give let our listeners know that you can hear all of our shows on the archive by going to prn.fm and look for shows, S-H-O-W-S. You might put in the name of the show you'd like to see. The name of the title of the show is Let's Create a Better World. And you put in the date of the show, and you can hear that show online. And by the way, those people that don't have a computer or laptop or are not near one, you can hear this show anytime at this number I'm going to give you now. I'll repeat this information at the end. The number is area 712 432-7231. All right, let's get back to our show with Diana Reeves. I want to ask you, Diana, I know you had tragedy with your son. If you could get into that a little more, and then a little more information and some basics on GMOs for listeners that don't know too much, don't know what it means and the title of it and what it really, really is. Go ahead.
I would be happy to. Yesterday actually was the anniversary of my son's death, so it's very timely. I love to talk about him. He was a wonderful little boy. He was almost 5 years old when he died. And he, the doctor said, was born with a tumor which was in the middle of his brain, and it was inoperable at the time by conventional surgical techniques. And he fought for 2 years. We took him to different medical centers, and he had 4 brain surgeries, and he had chemotherapy and radiation, and we lost the battle. And because I fought so hard for his life, and because of, you know, what we went through, I don't want other people to have to deal with the same problem, and it makes me extremely sensitive to anyone that puts a child at risk. So, I mean, these are two of the primary reasons, really, that we chose Kellogg's and Gerber, is because Kellogg's primarily markets their cereal products and their other products, the snacks and Pop-Tarts and all that, to children, and we really believe that they're putting children at risk by feeding them these foods that have not been adequately safety tested and that are doused in herbicides such as Roundup and produce pesticides such as BT toxins. And the same goes for Gerber with their baby formulas and baby foods. Both of those companies are American icons, and we believe that they should lead the way and do the right thing for American people and their children.
For those that don't know a whole lot about GMO, can you give a 101 simple little explanation of what is GMO, what it stands for, what is the basic of it?
I would be happy to. There are some misconceptions about what GMOs are because there's a lot of disinformation being spread through mainstream media these days. So the first thing that's being said is that we've been engineering crops for thousands of years, and they've been, you know, genetically engineered, and this is nothing different. And that is a flat-out lie, because what's being done to the foods that are genetically engineered in our food systems since about 1996, I think was the first, basically the first one that entered the food supply, is these plants, which is primarily corn and soy and canola and cotton for cottonseed oil, and sugar beets for sugar, they have been engineered in a lab by forcing genes from unrelated species, from viruses, bacteria, antibiotic-resistant markers into the DNA of the plant. And they've been made to do two different things. There are two traits primarily that have been engineered into the GMOs in our food supply. The first one we've talked about is herbicide tolerance. And there are basically two herbicides. The primary herbicide is Roundup, that most of them have been engineered to tolerate being sprayed with. But there are also the Liberty Link crops, which are made by Bayer. And those have also been made to be tolerant to be sprayed with a herbicide called glufosinate, or GLA. And that herbicide was recently tested. There was a study done, which is peer-reviewed and just published, where they fed mice, moms, I guess it was pre and post birth, very low levels of glufosinate, and the offspring developed autism. So I think, you know, for that reason, we're also down the road going to need to test for glufosinate. But the basic traits that are in the food supply are the herbicide tolerance, and then the second one is pesticide producing. So what we have now primarily is corn and also cotton. The plants have BT toxins inserted into the DNA. And so these BT toxins are synthetic forms of a soil bacteria. They've been synthesized in the lab and forced into the DNA so that every cell of the plant produces these toxins during the entire life cycle of the plant, and they cannot be washed off. And they are pesticides. And these plants are actually registered with and regulated by the EPA as a pesticide. They have pesticide registration numbers. If the seed was on the shelf at Home Depot, it would have a label that says EPA pesticide registration and the number. But because the FDA has jurisdiction over food and the EPA does not, there's no label required. So we have these pesticide-producing plants, which also have not been safety tested, in our food supply, with some of these plants making up to 6, I believe, different versions of BT toxins produced from inside every cell of the plant that can't wash off. And so these chemical companies will tell you that they've reduced the amount of insecticide that's being used on our food because the plant itself kills the insects when they bite into it. But the truth of the matter is there are 6 different insecticides inside every cell of the plant that don't wash off. So if you take a look at what you're eating insecticides, whether or not they're sprayed on or they're coming from within.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, Diana, what concerns me is that in this country, we as the consumers have very little say because the corporations, Monsanto, Dow, they have so much power. Yet 61 countries around the world require label tests, to be labeled a GMO. And in fact, there are 4 countries in the north. Denmark, I think, is one of them, and I think Sweden's the other one, and there's 2 others that don't even allow. They're completely zone 3. No GMOs can even come in there.
Yeah, I think they're actually more than that. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Russia recently has come out against GMOs. They actually have scientists that go around to their fields and do tests on the crops to make sure nobody's growing GMOs.
Oh, that's great. That is super. We need that in this country. And slowly but surely, we're going to get it, thanks to people like you and Pam Leary and so many great people around this country that I've had on this show and that we continue to talk about. This is one of the subjects very dear to my heart because what we eat. And what bothers me is like Gerber. We're talking about babies, Diana.
We certainly
Gerber
are.
Tell us a little more at length of why these people, what they're doing.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please?
Yes, no problem. Gerber's, my feeling is that what they're doing for babies is so, so bad. And I'd like to get your take on that and Kellogg's, a little more about the companies and what they're doing and how we're going to win the battle.
You know, wrong in my mind as well. And Nestle, believe it or not, owns Gerber. And recently, I think it was within the last 12 months, the people of South Africa rose up and spoke out and they boycotted Nestle, which was their baby formulas. They're under the Nestle brand in South Africa and said that we want no GMOs in our baby formula. Nestle responded. So there are now no GMOs in baby formula and foods under the Nestle brand being sold in South Africa. So we feel that Nestle should be able to do the same thing for American babies under their Gerber brand name in the U.S. and in Canada. And we really believe that with continuous pressure, they're going to respond and do the right thing. So for anyone who has babies or has grandchildren or knows someone or just cares, please contact Gerber and tell them that we're growing a nationwide boycott of all of their products, including their organic line, because we want them to remove GMOs. So that would be the first thing. And then as far as Kellogg's goes, you know, it's more of the same. Kellogg's actually spent $750,000 this year to fight against GMO labeling in the states of Oregon and Colorado, where the people had put initiatives on the ballot. There was a public vote to label GMOs in those states. Kellogg's spent $750,000 total in 2014 on propaganda, which was pumped into the media that confused people and told them that their food prices would go up. It told them that it was a bad bill and that it would confuse people because milk wasn't included and meat wasn't included, when the truth of the matter is that bill included everything that was legally possible to be included under the FDA food jurisdiction. If you have different issues which are covered by different laws on a ballot initiative, you cannot include them in the same initiative. So there is no legal way to include meat, which is not from a genetically engineered cow, but what they were referring to is meat that comes from an animal that was fed GMOs. Okay, that's under the USDA jurisdiction. But the bill would include animals that were genetically modified. They would have to be labeled. I'm not sure. Did I articulate that okay? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. A little complicated, but the issue is complicated. We'll go right
ahead. So they were trying to confuse people and saying, you know, things like the bill doesn't include this, it has exclusions for that, when in fact there were no exclusions. If the milk was genetically engineered, it would be required to be labeled. If the cow was genetically engineered, it was required to be labeled. There was absolutely no confusion. But if the animal was fed genetically engineered feed, that comes under a different jurisdiction. That's the USDA, not the FDA, as far as food labeling goes. And so what would have been needed was a separate ballot initiative, which would cover things such as milk from a cow fed GMOs and meat from a cow, which is fed GMOs. And so, you know, perhaps what's needed to dispel all of this propaganda is to have two separate ballot initiatives the next time around, you know, on the same ballot that cover both of those things, because then they wouldn't be able to whine and complain and confuse people. The other thing they said is that it would be bad for farmers when, in fact, it would have no effect on the farmers. Most of the farmers, you know, really supported these initiatives because they believe in transparency as well. What farmer wants to grow something that no one wants to eat? You know, what real farmer? You have to ask.
That's right. Very good. You know, here in California, we 2 years ago, I know Gary Null, the owner of this station, and spoke with us over the phone. We had a meeting in October of 2 years ago, right before the election, a week, 10 days before the election, and we thought we were winning because we were winning, and little by little, Monsanto put money, lots of money, and millions of dollars into their campaign, and they came out with lies saying that it was going to cause legal problems for people, and that the taxes were going to go high, which was totally, totally false. But they got
they
away with it.
They caught the bomb the state with, you know, they totally blast the media on TV and in the, you know, the print media and everywhere. And because, as you say, they spent actually $21 million combined in the state of Oregon and $17 million in the state of Colorado on this type of propaganda. It's enough to confuse people. It's enough to brainwash people.
Right. In California, it was somewhere between about
it was $46 million, I believe.
Okay, you might be right. I heard a higher number, but who knows? But here's the thing about all that. In California, we barely lost. In Washington, we barely lost. Right now, in Oregon, as we speak, they're counting. It's a close election. We're losing barely, but hopefully we can win that state. But you know what, Diana? We're going to win all the rest. We're going to win more and more states because people are getting aware of this issue more and more. Can you speak to that issue, please, briefly? How we're organizing around the country and how people are learning about this issue. If you could get into that just a little. Hello, Diana, are you there? Well, I hope we didn't lose her. If we did lose her, I hope she'll come back. Is the engineer there? Are we on? Is everything okay? Hopefully she'll call back. If not, let me continue with what we're saying there, and we do have another guest coming on in about 10 minutes. Basically, there are about 25 states, from what I heard, and my information not quite as good as hers because she's into this completely 16 hours a day. This woman is amazing. But right now, as we speak, there are, last word I heard was 25 different states were on the ballot, getting on the ballot, or going to have an election on this very issue of labeling GMO. We need to know what's in our food. Very, very, very important. Food testing. She was going to get into it, and if we lose her, if we don't get her, I'll get her back in the next week or two to finish up to talk about. There's some enormous, enormous things going on about testing all these foods that are bad and exposing this in a real, real scientific study and a scientific testing of food products. So that's going on right now, and she was going to talk about that. I can tell you that. All right. Now, I want to let you know that this show, this month, the next few weeks, and I don't know what's going to happen with Christmas or because we may have a rerun going on for a week or two during the holidays, but I'm going to handpick a real good rerun, or we may send them a tape and they can just put it on because some of the days are during the holidays, especially right before Christmas, where we're doing different hours and less work because of the holidays. However, we'll be here, and we want to talk about the Christmas spirit because it's so important. People, depression, people going into drinking, suicide, medications, too many medications. People are overdoing everything. They go to a party and they drink so much, and how are you going to drive like that? We need designated drivers. We need more of everything. We're going to be talking about that more and more and more. Our engineer, if she calls back, just get right into the show. And at the end of the show, we're going to have a song by Nat King Cole, the Christmas Story, a great, great song. And I do want to give you my number and other numbers that you need. My number, if you want to call me ever for anything, ideas for the show, what you like, what you don't like, my number is 323-770-1925. And I want to get back on the GMO issue. Make sure, you know, if you go to GMO-free zone, GMO, and that is the .org, GMOfreezone.org, and you can read all about what they're doing. They're doing a lot of great work, and there's so much information there. We need to get this word out.
Our website actually is GMOfreeUSA.org.
Go ahead. Why don't you go give that information, because we're winding. We've got about 6-7 minutes left for you, Diana. I lost you for a while. I don't know what happened, but you're back. Go ahead and give us the information of how people and can contact you, contact the web page. Let's go into that for about 2-3 minutes.
Okay, so if you'd like to find us, we're on Facebook at GMO Free USA, which would be www.facebook.com/GMOfreeUSA, and we share news and scientific research, which is independent of the industry, on our Facebook page. And you can also find a lot more information on GMOfreeUSA.org. One thing I would like to highlight is we do have a list of over 1,700 studies and reports that have found various types of, or that suggest various types of harm from GMOs. And I would highly recommend that if you are in a position where you think the industry has an equal number or more safety studies that prove GMOs are safe, you take a close look at those studies, because we've taken a close look at the industry studies. And what we've found is that the studies have either been done on chickens or birds or quails or fish, which are not anatomically similar to humans or mammals and don't prove anything, or they were done on unapproved varieties, or they were short-term studies that prove nothing, or they were feeding studies, which are actually known as performance studies, that just check to see if the animals gained weight or what level of milk they produce, but don't look for toxicity. And there really is no comfort from those studies that GMOs are safe. Whereas on the other hand, on our GMO science page on GMOfreeUSA.org, you will find a list of studies which, you know, find, you know, quite the opposite or suggest quite the opposite. So that's a great resource. And there's more information about our boycotts and also a link also to sign up for our newsletter, where we'll be releasing the results of our food testing.
Okay, Diana, we're winding down. So briefly, can you talk about food tasting? I mentioned it while you were off the air, and then you can give a minute or two final thoughts. We can wind down. Go right ahead.
There's actually one thing I would really like to mention. I'm not sure everyone is aware, but there's a bill in Congress which was sponsored by the Grocery Manufacturers Association, and they've hired 9 firms to lobby for them. And there's a hearing for the bill on the 10th of December in Washington, D.C. Organic Consumers is actually providing free buses for people to be able to take to go to the hearing. It's very important that we get massive amounts of people to show up at this hearing, because the bill actually blocks state labeling, so that any of the states that want to pass a labeling bill would be prohibited from doing so. And the bill actually pushes voluntary labeling. There is no mandatory labeling in this bill, and it allows things which are highly processed, such as canola oil, to be labeled non-GMO or GMO-free, which is absolute nonsense if it's created from a GMO crop. And there are other nasty things in there as well. So we need to get the public out to fight and to make our voices heard that this is not acceptable. And the best way to do that is if you can show up in D.C. on December 10th. If you go to organicconsumers.org, you'll find information about the buses. And if you can't make it to the hearing, please pick up the phone and call your representatives and the sponsors of the bill as well, and tell them that this is not the right thing for the American public.
Diana, the 10th is a Thursday, I believe. Is that right?
The 10th is Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
Is that too late? Or too?
No, it's good to mention that now. This show is, I want to be able to get, I'm going to go into that website and get that information and bring it out again on this show. And so now
there are people flying in from all over the country, by the way. I know some from Hawaii and California, and there hopefully will be a wonderful turnout, but we need everyone we can get to show up.
Great, beautiful. I'm going to bring that out again next week. But Diana, take 3 minutes. Give us your final thoughts so we can wind this down. Go right ahead.
My final thoughts are that people are waking up and becoming much more aware of what they're eating and putting in their bodies, and the demand for organic food is increasing because people don't want to eat chemicals, and for good reason. And I think the food movement is growing, and regardless of the outcome of the most two recent ballot initiatives, Oregon is going through a recount, and Colorado was defeated. But with very little in terms of resources, Colorado was able to get 35% or so of the population to vote for labeling. And I think as the food movement grows, which it is continuing to do, and we become stronger, we are going to win the fight for labeling, and hopefully the fight soon after to get these toxins out of our food. So keep fighting, be aware, speak with your dollars, speak with your wallets, boycott all Kellogg's products, please. That would include Kashi, because they use the profits from the sale of the few Kashi products, which are non-GMO project verified, to fight labeling. And that would include Bare Naked, and that would include Morningstar and Garden Burger and, you know, all of their peripheral brands as well.
There's a big list of this all on the website, right? Can you tell us more about what's on the website or what for people to look for?
Yes, on the website there's a section for our Take Action section where the Kellogg's boycott information is laid out very precisely, and the information about which brands belong to Kellogg's. There's a graphic which has all the logos for all their brands. They also make Girl Scout cookies, by the way. So, yes, they're all
right there.
It's all on the website.
That's right. I heard about Girl Scout cookies. Boy, this is terrible. But we're going to win. We're winning, and all over the world we're winning, and this country we're starting to show strong signs of the victory. Thanks to great people like yourself, Diana. You've been wonderful. Well, thank you for being on the show. I'd like to have you again soon. And have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family. You're one of my heroes because you're so dedicated. The hours you put in and the dedication is just off the charts. You're great.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Happy holidays to everyone, and thank you for helping us get the word out.
Great, great, wonderful. That's Diana Reeves, who is the executive director of GMO-Free Zone, U.S..org. Wait a minute, let me get this straight. GMO, are you still there, Diana? Okay. I got it written down here. I'll get it. GMOfreeUSA.org. There it is. GMOfreeUSA.org. That's the one to check. And you can call me anytime for more information on that. Now, I want to remind you that the next few weeks we're going to have more and more information on the Christmas spirit, the holiday spirit, what you can do as far as to eat, what not to do, to be careful about overdoing anything like drinking or overeating and not exercising. We need to enjoy the holidays with our families, more love, more good things, stay positive, don't get depressed, try not to let it get to you so much. You need to find a way to get your mind on a good thought. We're going to talk about that the next few weeks a little more. All right, let's get to our next guest. He is Joseph Ross, a great astrologer, psychic, who works with a lot of real renowned people. He himself is a renowned counselor, psychic astrologer, and really into what's going on in the world. Welcome to the show, Joseph.
Thank you, Bobby. A great pleasure and honor to be here.
Okay. Somehow, either you or I are not coming out too loud, so be sure to speak into the phone a little more, and I'll do the same. Thank you for being here at the show, and I'd like to ask you first to give a little brief. Everybody knows astrology is, well, sort of for the stars, but a little more in-depth basic information about astrology.
Yeah, astrology is the master language. It's the one language that shows the interrelationship between matter and spirit, and it's as ancient as history. Hippocrates, the father of Greek medicine, or the Greek father of medicine who developed the Hippocratic Oath, he said that any physician who practices medicine without knowing astrology has no business practicing medicine. And it's the one science, once again, that shows the interrelationship between matter and spirit. So the movements of the planets are connected to our personalities, our relationships, our career. As a professional astrologer, what I help to do is use this knowledge in order to help my clients to increase their options in life rather than to be fatalistically adhering to what the planets seem to say. We meet skeptics a lot who say astrology is nonsense. You know, I've been on TV with James Randi and various other skeptics, and what they don't want to acknowledge is the fact that, for example, the moon is the exact orbital duration as the human female menstrual cycle. And so there's ample evidence that the planetary movements are definitely connected to human activities. And indeed, once again, I feel it's one of the most important and sadly neglected sciences in history at this time.
That's true. I noticed that. And I know a lot of people, Joseph, think that astrology is for quacks. It's for unusual people of that sort. And what you just said kind of makes us understand that astrology is good and can be used to their benefit. I mean, I believe in it. I've sat with you and talked about it and gone over it, and there's a lot of truth to it. Let's get into the current state of what's going on in the world, particularly in this country and United States, about where the stars and the planets are. I know a few days ago you mentioned there was a kind of a downtime. Can you explain that in simple words for our listeners, please?
Yeah, well, sometimes the most challenging times can be the time when the most the strongest changes are happening, actually for the good of humanity. There's a saying that forced growth is painful, while conscious or voluntary growth is pleasurable. So we're going through kind of a forced growth time right now, in that Saturn is in Scorpio, going through the last couple of degrees of Scorpio, and it's going to leave Scorpio and enter Sagittarius on December 24th, Christmas Eve. So it's been in Scorpio for 2.5 years, which is the period of Saturn in each sign. And Saturn's a difficult planet. It represents limitations, blocks, to be Saturnian or Sirius. So in Scorpio, it has been blocking the Scorpio energy, which Scorpio relates to life force, to sexuality, to emotions. We've also had Pluto in Capricorn for the last 5 years or so, which is causing a lot of fear about money. We had the mortgage meltdown. We had surveillance state revelations. And so we're seeing a tremendous fear energy that's been gripping the planet, because Pluto is not well placed in Capricorn, and Pluto rules Scorpio and Saturn, a difficult planet in Scorpio, so it's like a double whammy. People are having to take stock of who they are, what they want in life, and issues of betrayal, of feeling let down by other people, particularly regarding money matters, are very paramount right now. So the solution to all this is for people to take personal responsibility for how they make a living, and to speak squarely to the people that they work with. Diplomatically is good, but also squarely, to be honest and forthright in their dealings with people, and to be prepared to grow rather than sit and sulk. You may have noticed, Bobby, I mean, you know, we're a couple of old-timers here. I mean, you know, you have taught me how to be perpetually youthful with your great nutritional consultation, which I'm so grateful to have availed myself of from you for the last 3 years we've known each other. And Gary Null products, I use them religiously to maintain a young demeanor. A lot of people have a hard time realizing our ages. I'm not even going to mention your or my age, but have you ever seen a time over the last 5 to 10 years with this Pluto and Capricorn, and we had some other things going on, where people have been so serious and at times suppressed, right. Compared to when we were kids in the 60s and 70s. I mean, it's a very intense time, and people are having, Occupy LA or Occupy Wall Street, all the rebellion against the surveillance state, all the fear about the economy, all the globalization and anti-globalization. We're entering the Aquarian age right now, but it's supposed to be an era of plenty and prosperity and freedom. But at times, the downside is almost like a roboticization of humanity, a turning of humanity into obedient machines, you know, like out of War of the Worlds or the Time Machine or something. So we, you know, this is a very intense transformational time in human history, and people have to grow. We have to talk with each other. We have to work with each other. The good people, the aware people, have to network and have to help each other to help create a positive paradigm shift for humanity. And this has been, at times, a depressing and downside with this Pluto in Capricorn. Pluto was last in Capricorn during the American Revolution. It has a 240-year orbit. So we're going through a new American Revolution right now. And we even got the so-called Tea Party advocates, you know, who I'm not sure that they're in the spirit of the original American Revolution, frankly. But we also have the Occupy Wall Street movement, and people just don't want to be exploited anymore. And there's a lot of anger out there and a lot of despair. And it's shows like you that give that like you have here that give people hope. And that's what we have to do. We have to give each other hope, and we have to help each other grow, and we got to create a positive future for humanity. And I know you're all about that, Bobby.
Thank you, Joseph. That's what this show is about, especially this month. It's all about love. It's all about the Christmas spirit. But what is the real Christmas spirit? It is us being together. You said it so well the last 10 or 12 words that you said, that people have to come together, work with each other, be more understanding, be more patient, more love in the air, and we can have a better world. Yes, we can. The word love is so, so important to me. It's the number one word in order to turn this around and have more love in this world. Speaking of that, I understand there's some good things coming up now that Sagittarius is going to go into, Saturn is going to go into Sagittarius starting right at Christmas Eve, as you said. Now, it's been a Scorpio and there's been some problems, but tell me the good things or tell me what you can about the new era starting December 24th with Scorpio and Sagittarius.
Yes, Saturn will be in Sagittarius for 2.25 years, which is more about moving forward. Saturn in Scorpio, Scorpio is a fixed sign. It gets kind of stuck, kind of like a stagnant pond that breeds mosquitoes. So the last 2 years have been pretty weird, pretty intense, pretty difficult, but forcing people to take personal stock of their lives and to grow. Now, Saturn in Sagittarius trine Jupiter in Leo, and Jupiter in Leo is hitting a station, too, over the next couple of days. But Jupiter in Leo is very positive, particularly for entertainment, show business, personal growth. So there's a lot of projects that may feel stalled right now. You know, I'm also a film financer, financier and a production executive, because I want to reach all humanity. Sometimes astrology can be so limiting in terms of the, you know, the skepticism that I deal with. So, you know, I've also been, with my Leo rising, very oriented in entertainment. And I've done, you know, stage shows and stuff, and been on TV with Uri Geller, James Van Praagh, Sylvia Brown, been interviewed by Jay Leno, Chelsea Handler, and Bonnie Hunt. And so right now I'm really trying to create positive spiritual-themed media content for humanity and to facilitate this from other people. So we do film financing, too, and we've been able to finance some very good stuff that helps humanity. And we're working on more projects right now that are global in scope, including with geodesic domes and water extraction technology, magnetic train. We're building cities for the homeless. Our, you know, an equity fund that I represent is funding this. So we're doing everything we can to help humanity. The next year ahead will be much more positive than the Saturn and Scorpio time, where a lot of projects get blocked up. Now people are ready to run and move forward. So the Jupiter in Leo trine the Saturn in Sagittarius for the next 2 years by sign will be very positive, and I'm expecting to see major positive change in the world rather than just a lot of protesting that seems to be falling on deaf ears.
That's the best thing you've said all year, and that's why I wanted to bring that out. We have a lot of hope. This radio show and things that you and I have talked about, Joseph, are all about making this a better, more positive world where we can see change actually develop. And I am totally dedicated to that on this show, and that's why I have people like you and the earlier speaker on this show. This show is all about really creating a better world. Let's create a better world, yes. And also about how people can live their lives better with the right foods, the right thought of mind, the right way to live, to be happy, and stay away from the negativity, the toxicity. That's what this show is all about. And that's what you're all about, Joseph. That's why I asked you to be on this show. You're a very, very positive man and a great, great friend. And I'm just so happy that you're doing all this great work that you're doing. We've got another 5 minutes, 8 minutes left in the show. You go ahead and speak on anything you want to speak about, Joseph, because I know you have a lot of information. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Bobby. That's kind of a tall order, a wide-open agenda. I do many readings. I've done 50,000 readings in my lifetime, you know, which kind of, I guess, dates me a little bit. But I'm just so fortunate to be in a field which enables me to help people so much. I get a sense of what people need in the world right now. And what I'm feeling so strongly, what I see day by day, is that people need to communicate. They need to connect. They need to reach out. Here in L.A., we have meetup groups. I imagine this might be a national phenomenon right now. I'm not sure.
It is.
But
it is.
I would recommend everybody join their meetup groups. I know one fellow who belongs to 60 meetup groups. And, he's a comedian and a astrology student and a real estate agent. I met him through Meetup, and I'm meeting all kinds of incredible people through Meetup. And this is very Aquarian age, to network. I also recommend everybody work on their communication skills and their social skills. We need to reduce friction. A lot of times people that are struggling in the front lines to help humanity end up arguing with each other.
Right.
And, you know, the people that are exploiting the planet tend to have pretty closed ranks. But the people who are trying to liberate the planet can end up fighting each other a lot. I recommend, therefore, like the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I recommend that strongly for light workers. Also, the study of NLP or neuro-linguistic programming can be very positive. You can Google NLP. Free articles and get an introduction to it. I don't teach it myself. I'm not certified to do that, but it's been a great tool for me. And reaching out and connecting to people and helping people, I mean, we just need to come together, and that's the Aquarian age. Aquarius is all about teamwork, social activities. It also rules air travel. It rules media and communications, you know, over the airwaves. So we're going into the Aquarian age, which is taking us to a place where all men are, and women are created equal, and where we are upwardly mobile, and where we're being globalized. People are coming from all over the planet. I've been married for 14 years to a wonderful lady who's from the Philippines, and she has taught me more about what I need to know than anybody I've ever known. About love in particular. She's a Pisces with Moon in Scorpio and Capricorn rising, and I have almost no planets in those signs. I'm a Virgo with Leo rising. You know, it's not just your sun sign. It's all your planets when you were born, including the rising sign. Like you, Bobby, you have Sun in Scorpio and also Aquarius rising, which gives you a tremendous humanitarian orientation. And so, at any rate, we have to learn from our differences. We have to understand unity and diversity. But mostly, we can't be isolated. And there is strength in numbers. Look what brought down the Berlin Wall was people power. Look what overthrew the tyrants in Egypt and Libya, people power. And people power is going to save this planet. So what you're doing, Bobby, with your Aquarius rising, it's just so right on in terms of helping to promote dialogue from people with people from different backgrounds. We have to learn from each other and create once again a positive future for humanity. And you're doing that wonderfully well. And once again, it's been a great honor and pleasure to be on your show. Thank you, Bobby.
Well, we're not through yet, but yeah, thank you for the kind words. And,
I get more time?
Yeah, hold on. Time, yes. So let's keep.
I'm going to talk a little. Are we going through technical problems or a little hard connecting or something?
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Bobby. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take off that. Here we go. Okay, meetup groups are not only in Los Angeles, they're all over the country, and they're growing fast. Some people, like you said, your friend is in 60 groups. I know people, they're in 4 or 5 groups easily. It's a great place to network. and meetup groups. There are people, and look, you can go to meetup.com, and you can check it out. There's meetings all over the place. I don't know which area you live in this country, or even if you live in this country, for those listeners listening, but it's a great place to network. It's a positive thing. You meet a lot of really caring people that are moving forward. This is what we need. And by the way, I'm going to be, the new year I'm going to bring up, and I've spoken to Gary Null yesterday about this, that we want to get some meetup groups in Los Angeles called the Gary Null Health Support Group Meetup Group. And I've run the groups here in L.A. for the last few years. We have meetings. We have speakers. We talk about products. We talk about everything that we talk about on the show. And we teach people how to live, how to be better, how to be healthier, live longer, et cetera. But there are one, meetup groups are just so wonderful. And I like what you said about this coming year, the coming with two and a half years, I think you said, that things are going to get better.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to just automatically change by themselves. It's our karma to be alive right now. We have to be light workers. We have to engineer growth for all humanity. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. I mean, we got, 5 billion plus people on the planet right now. And you know what? The amazing thing is that each and every one of these people is here for a special reason. And we all are like a universe unto ourselves, but we intersect on planetary karma. Earth, what is Earth? Earth is earthly. So earthlings are earthly. We've been all focused on materialism and on, you know, it's like the earth element in astrology is ruled by the sign Taurus. So we're all honorary Tauruses. And Taurus is a great sign, like all 12 are, but sometimes it can be focused on the material security. So most people are really worried about money and their home and their rent and their security, to the point where they're not developing their higher consciousness or reaching out to create a positive future. So we get marginalized. We get actually colonialized and territorialized. We get owned by the establishment. And so most people are really owned by the system. And so it takes a lot of courage. That's why one of the reasons I admire Gary Null so much is not only is he really aware of how people can grow in terms of their food and how they can be healthy in terms of their food and their nutrients, but he also has tremendous social consciousness. And he's a fighter. And he stands up for the truth. And that's why, you know, he's one of our heroes on this planet right now. And I'm not saying that to stroke him. I just, you know, I mean, I tell it like it is. You have to in my business. I believe in giving credit where credit is due. And so, you know, how many really great people are there out there? We're sadly lacking in our government and in our business leaders. We're sadly lacking in people that really are dedicated to helping humanity. It's the people that have to do this. So we have to educate each other. We have to help each other up rather than duke each other down. We got to help each other up, and we got to basically take over our own planet. We have to basically liberate, emancipate, empower, and celebrate our diversity and all the freedom fighters on the planet. And by that, I don't mean like, you know, people that are going and shooting each other. That's one way to do it, but it's pretty counterproductive. I'm talking about people who are educating each other, because that's what's the internet and meetups are what's changing people, not people shooting each other. That just leads to a short circuit. I mean, nonviolent resistance has proven to be far more effective than violence in terms of causing change. But nonviolent communication is what, through the move, that's why I'm in the movie business too and TV. Is because this is what's changing the consciousness of humanity. But now all the movies are going to independence, away from the studio system. The studio system has been like controlling content and exploiting artists in many instances, not all instances, but many instances. Now we get people coming to us all the time who want us to subsidize their movies, their independence. They don't even know what a budget is or what a executive summary is. And so we're trying to help them to create their and fund their own independent projects where they can tell the truth. It's all going to internet. It's all going to handheld. There soon will be no movies or movie theaters. There will soon be, you know, TV is dying. Music industry is already dead because of the internet, because of downloading. So, but it's all going to the internet. And they're trying to close down the internet. We can't let them do that. That's more important than anything to keep the internet going. It's changing China very strongly. China has changed from a very backward, xenophobic, primitive society into an incredible economic powerhouse that is probably going to take over the planet. Asia is changing. The Mideast is changing. Everything is changing because of the internet and TV and movies. So we have to enlighten and enfranchise everybody on the planet and help each other to help, create a heaven on earth, which is based on unity and diversity, respect for the sanctity of life, respect for women's rights, for the rights of all ethnic families. And I don't say races because we're all one race, the human race, but all ethnic families of humanity. We have to learn from each other, come together. And astrologers are generally very much into all this because we understand the Aquarian age and we understand the importance of liberating and enlightening rather than subjecting people to narrow types of fatalistic concepts.
Okay, Joseph, I got to finish the show, but great, great, wonderful. I love to. You just open up and just let your heart out and talk about all these positive things. Thank you for coming on the show, Joseph. We'll be talking again, and I want you to listen to this because I don't know if I mentioned to you very much, but and for our listeners to know, Gary Null is showing a great film called Poverty, Inc. He spent 8.5 years putting this film together. It's ready. The grand opening premiere is in New York City tomorrow, Friday, December the. Wait a minute. Today's I'm pre-recording this, so today the show is coming on Saturday, but the show is on from December 5th. Through the 11th, that's a Friday till a Thursday, and not only in New York City, where Gary will be speaking, I think almost every night after the 7:10 showing or whatever time it is over there, and I'll be over here in Los Angeles with a couple of people. We're going to be doing question and answer after each show. There'll be 4 shows a day, and in Los Angeles, we'll be at the Pasadena Playhouse. It's from Lamelli Theaters. We'll be there 11:30. Anyway, there's several showings from 11-ish to 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 10 o'clock. So let me get that back. There's 4 showings, and the last one is 10 o'clock. You want more information on that? Here, Gary Null show tomorrow on PRN at 12 noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific time. So let me finish with that. Thank you for being on the show, Joseph. Thank everybody.
Yeah, let me just mention real quick, please, when you talk to Gary next, let him know that my company would love to help fund his projects. And let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it. Let's get on the phone with him. Thank you so much, Joseph. You've been wonderful.
Thank you.
I got to wind the show down. And thank the engineer.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome. Roger, the engineer, Jason, the director of Progressive Radio Network radio station, Casey, that works in the office there. I want to thank Jimmy D, our L.A. producer. I want to thank Stuart Haswell, doing a lot of work, our associate producer. I want to thank you, the listeners, and be sure to tune in next week. And if our engineer, if you could please play the song a little longer, the Nat King Cole song called The Christmas Story. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy
to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas.